If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
And I was thinking of the book of Ecclesiastes, and in it they talk about there's an appointed time for everything, Ecclesiastes says.
Oh, look at her going back to the 60s.
The time for every event.
She's quoting a song. She didn't know that was in Ecclesiastes.
It talks about a time to heal. Talks about a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. How about that? Oh, for today, a time for peace. Let's focus on a time to heal.
Okay. All right. Hi. Yeah, that was Nancy Pelosi, who she, I guess, that, wait, is it not a prop anymore? She took a photo with it, with a Bible. Is it not a prop anymore? I don't know. Can we go to all the media people? Can we go and ask them some questions? I'm so curious. Welcome to the show. Hi. How are you? I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Oh, and all 3 hours, official Dana Lash on Facebook, also on YouTube and channel 248 via, on Pluto TV via The First. I'm just going to warn you, typically after any sort of leg day activity.
Is it today?
No, it was yesterday. Could you not tell? I have noticed an uptick in smart aleckness. And just warning you about that today. I feel kind of like purposefully starting fights. So I'm in a great mood. I'm in a good mood for the most part. So where to start? Because there's a multitude of things we're going to cover in the show today. Yesterday was incredibly packed, and I'm wanting to get to the point where Friday I can open phone lines. So the whole, what was it, the Blackout Tuesday thing that happened yesterday?
Yeah.
Do you know that not a single one of the individuals that were posting all of the black square stuff, and then later on they had to say, stop, you're messing with the algorithm and it's actually silencing people. Not a single one of them said anything about David Dorn. Kind of, or any of the officers, including the black officers that were murdered the other evening. We talked a little bit about Mr. Dorn yesterday, as news was coming out of exactly what had happened, when there was riots in downtown St. Louis, and one of my friends, their offices, the building in which one of their offices is located, was just completely busted and looted and damaged and ramshacked, however you want to put it, just destroyed. And the rioters and looters were going up and down different streets in downtown St. Louis. And at least Pawn and Jewelry, which is ironically there off of Martin Luther King Boulevard. And by the way, for all of the individuals writing their little op-eds and writing their little blog posts who say, well, they do put pawn shops in bad areas. Not necessarily. And you've never been to my hometown, because that, first off, that was not North St. Louis where that is. Do you geography? I'm just curious, because the West isn't North. Anyway, and it was like 4 blocks from Powell Symphony Hall. That is where all of the white trust fund socialists that are out in way out in West County, that's where they like to put on their cruelly obtained fur and go and watch people play instruments, go and watch a symphony. I always liked the symphony, but I wasn't one of those people. So Mr. Dorn was protecting his friend's shop, Le Pawn and Jewelry, and he was a very well-respected member of the community, the St. Louis community, a very well-respected retired police captain. And he was just doing a little work for his friend who owned that shop and protecting it as people, because you know they would have gone in and they would have looted Lee's Pawn and Jewelry. And that's exactly what they tried to do. But the presence of Mr. Dorn thwarted them, but not without a cost. Because the looters and rioters who are supposedly out there because they say Black Lives Matter shot and killed Mr. Dorn. Now, I'm not going to play video for you. I'm not going to play audio for you. It is on the internet and I have seen it, and it is something you cannot unsee. But it is the final moments of Mr. Dorn's life. And he is sprawled out on the sidewalk with a cell phone in hand and his firearm in the other. And out of all of the people that were on the sidewalk, out of all of the people that were running up and down the street and busting into businesses that was supposed to somehow suggest support and protection for Black lives, they took one. They took a Black life. An upstanding member of the community who had served and protected and was an inspiration to young cops all across the city. And they took his life because apparently spreading injustice is how one gets justice. I don't know in what world that has ever happened. And out of all of those people running up and down the street, only one person, a man whose voice can be heard on the video, and he is desperately pleading with Mr. Dorn to stay with him, desperately pleading with Mr. Dorn to stay awake, desperately pleading. And he calls 911 and he protects Mr. Dorn from other looters who would try to come back and rob him as he lay dying. Now, we're told that all of this is happening because Black Lives Matter. And Black Lives Matter to the point that it is insulting to say that anyone else's life matters. It is at the point where and we're going to go over some of it later in the show, there are public stunts that are being done somehow to demonstrate just how sorry some people feel. But I don't see where Black Lives Mattered in the death of David Dorn. And I don't see where Black Lives Mattered in the deaths of other officers. I don't understand the action of protesting George Floyd's killing by killing another Black American. I don't understand that. And so here we are. You know, and I look at all of the rioting and the looting and the assaults, and you have some peaceful protesters out there, and you also have violent Antifa. And then you also have a bunch of white progressives. And for the first time in my life, I have wholly and entirely agreed with Van Jones on a point. No truer words have been spoken than when Van Jones was telling everyone just really the true motive of white progressives. I cannot tell you how many self-aggrandizing videos I have seen of white progressives eager to capture some effort at virtue signaling so that they can get accolades on Instagram. I can't tell you. I mean, there's literally an entire account dedicated to documenting influencers in the wild. It's literally called that. I've seen videos of skinny white progressives in yoga pants posing, literally driving down the streets in a Mercedes. This one was in California, getting out of their Mercedes because they see a man boarding up the windows to his business, a business owner who just doesn't want to, he doesn't want to get hurt, and he doesn't want to get looted, and he just doesn't want his livelihood destroyed. Walk up to him, ask if they could hold the drill, and then boyfriend grabs a quick picture before yoga pants hops back in the Mercedes and they drive on off towards their privilege. If you want to have a discussion of privilege. I've seen so many people, and again, why is it always in yoga pants? Do they not offer these people anything else to wear but yoga pants? I love yoga pants just as much as the next person, but I also have other articles of clothing. There's one of those influencers in the wild where they're wearing their yoga pants and they are posing in the middle of a broken window of a business that had been looted. Boyfriend takes a quick picture. It's always a boyfriend. Takes a quick picture before they hop back in their Volvo. I mean, for real, who are these people? These are the same people that were doing the black squares all yesterday on Instagram. I've seen some of these people desperate for recognition in their own way. Hey, look, I don't really know what this is all about, but here's my black square. I'm part of it. Are you, though? Or, I mean, are you supporting the same ideology that people are protesting against? Because that's embodied in one of the political candidates running for office in this November. It's about branding. They're trying to brand struggle. There's something very interesting that Tucker Carlson said in one of his monologues, and I think he's gotten so much better at those. He's gotten, and he had, I think, one of his a good ones, and I made my kids watch it. You know, so now all the people who think I just sit my kids in front of Fox News and give them pamphlets on how to use firearms, okay, I made them watch one segment. But it was very, it was a very intellectual analysis of what is really happening here. Because there is a, and he, the video of the gentleman from the 92 riots in Los Angeles was played. And I have often thought about this because that is the video. That video has broken my heart. And seeing all of these other business owners, a lot of black business owners, talk about how they have worked so hard, like everybody else on God's green earth, black or white, to make something and only to have that just destroyed. For what? But that man in the video from 1992, he was yelling with a passion, a pain, a need for justice in his voice, and he had a hammer in his hand. He's a business owner. That man built things. That man created things. That man brought more tax revenue to his city to pay for firefighters and to pay for schools and to pay for roads and everything else. And all of the people that were destroying what he had did not. And they didn't want to. It's not even about, at this point, it's about whether or not you want to have a vested interest in our society and being a participating member of society, or you just want to cause chaos and bring it all down. And that's what we're seeing. That's why you have the Antifa out there. If there were peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters, they've been eclipsed by the violence of Antifa. We're going to talk more about this. We're also going to talk more about David Dorn, since nobody else is. We'll also get into the latest with the Rosenstein hearing. How did he verify that FISA application? That question's never been answered. We've got that. We've got the latest with some economic stuff. A lot more on the way. You don't want to miss it. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeats.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
This is awesome. And I like Mayweather. I like Pacquiao. I like other people, Mayweather's fault. But I like Mayweather, no matter his fault. Associated Press reports that former boxing champ Floyd Mayweather has offered to pay for George Floyd's funeral and memorial services, and the family has accepted. Mayweather personally reached out to the family. According to the CEO of Mayweather Promotions, he's going to handle the cost of all of it. It's taking place on June 9th in Houston, as well as the other expenses related to it. That's really awesome that he is doing that. And he didn't say anything about it. Apparently it got leaked out. And then someone reached out to Mayweather Promotions, and they commented on it, which stuck with me, because Mayweather always, you know how he is. My gosh, he like shows you his money room, like he's got a goodie room right up in his penthouse. And they didn't do that with this, which I thought that was very classy. So very cool on Mayweather there. Pentagon officials say that Trump's defense secretary and the Joint Chiefs chairman didn't mean to be in that controversial photo op at St. John's Church, and that they had walked out of the White House like right one way when apparently Trump and Barr and the others were coming the other way. And I can't even believe that was like a big thing either. I almost feel bad for sharing it as a headline, but just so you know, that's what they're talking about. A man is dead after trying to blow up an ATM in Philadelphia, say police. KIRO Channel 7, a 24-year-old man was killed after trying to blow up an ATM. It was one of the incidents in which ATMs were vandalized, but the explosion outside of Sidekick Sports Bar had some deadly consequences. The man was seriously injured and did not make it after he was taken to the hospital. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I mean, that should, you know, just so you know. And former SEAL Sue's new Navy secretary, this is the Eddie Gallagher case, and a New York Times reporter, because they were colluding, according to numerous reports, trying to leak smears about Gallagher ahead of his trial. There's a lot of stuff that people don't know that they think they know. And Bush alums are backing the former VP coming up in the election. Oh, we're going to go there. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have that uncomfortable conversation you're not supposed to have at the Republican table. Stick with us.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
While he was talking about treating everyone equally and protesters fairly, simultaneously, police and military personnel are pushing peaceful protesters back, causing violence. The state actually causing violence on the people yesterday. It is a misuse of the office. It is a misuse of the government. It is a misuse of the instruments of the government of the United States. And I am surprised that Republicans are standing by. Many of them are standing by, most of them, and not calling this action out. No one wants violence on the streets. That is a given. No American wants violence on the streets. No one wants anyone losing their lives. No one wants anyone losing their property. But if we don't stand up for the First Amendment rights for the next person, then we will lose ours.
Oh, goodness.
So all of the people, even if you support President Trump or whoever you support, or Joe Biden, whoever it is, you should be standing up for the rights of these young people to be out on the
streets. So let me ask this. Where was this concern from Don Lemon or CNN when you had business owners who were simply trying to reopen so that they could pay their bills? Where was this concern from Don Lemon and CNN when there were business owners practicing social distancing with the whole completely ineffective, don't even wear them, says that CDC face masks, and they were protesting for the right to work? Because at that point, CNN and every other media entity out there were shaming these people as grandma killers. They were saying that you're going to get people killed. Literally, this is what they were arguing. So all of a sudden now, your concern about First Amendment rights, you're really feeling it now? I don't think you've ever felt it. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. I don't think they've ever felt it, as I've said. The attorney for the family, Ben Crump, is speaking, and we were discussing a little bit earlier with the riots and the damage and the looting and just everything that's happening. I saw a thing from New York from the Benevolence Association. They had sent something out discussing how, yeah, we've kind of lost control of the city here. Thought, oh my gosh, I can't even actually believe that you are stating this. Right. That I can't believe you're stating it. Why would you say something like this publicly? And you had Andrew Cuomo going back and forth with Bill de Blasio. And de Blasio was, I don't know what he's doing. Does anyone know actually what the hell he does during the day? Because it cannot be mayoring. No. Audio soundbite 21, Cuomo slammed, absolutely slammed de Blasio. And he went after NYPD for New York City. Listen.
NYPD and the mayor did not do their job last night.
We didn't.
I believe that. Second, you have 38,000 NYPD people. It is the largest police department in the United States of America. Use 38,000 people and protect property.
Yeah. So they didn't do, and it's not, and it's also Cuomo too. The governor's passing the buck here. It's also him. You know what was crazy is when they finally enforced a curfew, members of the New York City Council could not even believe that they did this. They were all over social media bitching and moaning that I cannot believe that they actually set a curfew for the state. Apparently, they don't realize that actually it's within the gubernatorial office to do something like that. But they were complaining about it. Heaven forbid. The city council didn't do nothing. They hadn't done nothing. You have all of these businesses that have barely survived this lockdown. Barely survived. Many of them didn't. And they're still not able to open in some areas at all, and in others, not even past 50% capacity. They've barely made it. And now they're bracing for more destruction, if it hasn't hit them already. The motivation for this, and everyone focusing on division, because everyone's taking media bait. I do believe, I'll tell you this, like a year ago, I did not believe in the deep state. I didn't believe in any of that stuff because I am so far away from being a conspiracy theorist. But after this year, I do. I've just seen too much. A lot of stuff doesn't make sense. You know, we have this hearing going on today with Rod Rosenstein. And it's amazing to me that, and we're going to talk about this coming up, but none of them have asked this dude. Okay, so you sign one of these FISA warrants. Why? What justified it? But this is, I do believe that there is general and legitimate criticism and concern in the case of George Floyd. Now, you can disagree with me all you want to. I don't give a damn. Because I have, y'all know where I stand on it. And anyone who has hesitation on coming to that conclusion, I question how serious they are when they express concerns as, like, say, law-abiding gun owners. I mean, you know, you're worried about the state coming in and treating you bad. State's already doing that. Now, I look at the reaction to this, and there's genuine, yes, there's genuine, serious criticism and concern, and we do need better policing. It's not saying all our police are bad. And I want some of the people out there who get so damn sensitive over every single time something like this is said. I just could slap the hell out of some people. I mean it. It's so ridiculous. It's like we are living in an idiocracy. And I have to tell you, there's some people on the right contributing to it. You can absolutely say we got to improve policing and you can still support police. If that, if you struggle with thinking more than one thing at once, then maybe the problem isn't the rest of us. Maybe it's you and your limited intelligence. And if you think that you can't support the belief that, by and large, police officers are good people who just want to do their jobs and serve and protect, and also that there are some bad cops out there, if you can't think both of those things simultaneously, more than one thought at a time, God love you, then maybe the problem is you and your limited ability to reason. That's not me being insulting. That is me stating God's honest truth. And anyone who is made uncomfortable by this needs to do an inventory, personally. This is it's been a long-standing problem. It's a legitimate problem. But here's the thing. There are others who, they just want to see the world burn. I had this conversation with my kids last night. Did I not? I had this conversation with my kids last night. What was the Joker's motivation? See, he always struck me, especially the modern reshaping of his character, as the most worrisome villain in all of DC Comics. And why is that? Because usually when bad people do bad things, you can, maybe you have to investigate, but you can explain it. With the Joker, I think the thing that frightened a lot of the protagonists in the story is that his motivation really wasn't so much that he had such a bad upbringing. It's just that he didn't care. He just wanted to watch the chaos. He wanted to watch people turn on each other. He wanted to watch the world burn. And one of the reasons why that unsettled so many of the protagonists in that realm is because how do you deal with that? If someone doesn't care, how do you convince them to care? His switch was off. Something different. Like I was saying, I thought that Carlson made a really good point the other night when he was talking about the difference between people who build and create things and they participate in society, and then the people who just want to tear it down. And that is not a racial thing. It's not a racial thing, especially when you look at the black business owners in tears talking to local media. Scores Sports Bar, retired firefighter with four kids. He saved his money and he opened his dream business and he put everything that he had in it, and it was a good establishment and the locals liked it. And then in the name of Black Lives Matter, there were riots and his everything that he had worked for was totally destroyed in the span of one night. Everything this man had spent years working to achieve was destroyed in one night. I saw an interview with a woman. Actually, she made the video. Black female business owner. She owned a business. And she was livid. And she was asking, so why are y'all doing this? What is this in the name of? What is this in the name of? Is this for Black Lives Matter? Because it doesn't seem like that. It's not a racial thing, the difference in this ideology. And the far left plays on it. That's what the far left is. That's exactly what it is. And I think that that point is one of the more important points made in all of this. I mean, that there was another black police officer that was murdered in the rioting. And I'm just looking at all of these different business owners, black-owned businesses. I'm not quite sure how that all of that destruction and damage supports the claim that Black Lives Matter, because it seems situational. And it's being exploited to such an extent. And the media is not helping. Not at all. Coming up, I have a couple of different stories. First up, do you remember the story of the Louisville police? Because the narrative was, they just opened fire on this guy. The restaurant owner, David McGady, had just opened up fire on this guy because there was looting and rioting. It just executed him. It turns out, because officers had footage, Louisville police had footage of the guy actually firing first. You can't argue with what's on video like that. We're also going to look at the hostage statements that are being released by all of these different companies. Have you noticed this? All of these different companies, everyone is rushing to put out a statement about Antifa or Black Lives Matter, and they're very careful to not criticize the rioting even and the looting. And it sounds like hostage statements. That's what it honestly sounds like. And we're going to have that discussion. We're going to talk about all of it. And we're going to talk about the Country Club Republicans who think that all they have to do is just condemn Trump. All they have to do is say that the George Floyd killing was wrong, and then that all the bad stuff will go away. All the rioting will stop. All these Bush alums that are out there, they honestly believe this. We're going to discuss that as well. You don't want to miss it. We got a lot to touch on.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
You signed a warrant application in June of, 2017 to get the Carter Page warrant renewed. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Have you looked at the Horowitz report?
Yes, I have. I have it with me, Senator.
If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application?
No, I would not.
And the reason you wouldn't have is because Mr. Horowitz found that exculpatory information was withheld from the court. Is that correct?
Among other reasons, yes.
Yeah, and somebody actually altered an email.
$1 million question. I was reading this Washington Examiner piece wherein it said, Rosenstein was asked, if he knew then what he knows now, would he have signed that fourth and final Carter Page FISA warrant? And he says no. Okay, then why didn't you know anything when you signed it? You literally testified that you verified this. How did you verify it if you didn't know anything about it? Oh my gosh. Please tell me that I'm not insane for asking this basic question.
That's actually a pretty good question. I wish the media would ask it, actually. Has anyone on the Hill
asked it? I wish someone on the damn Senate panel would ask it. On the subcommittee. Okay, so wait a minute. You're telling me, Mr. Rosenstein, that you wouldn't have signed it if you knew now what you knew then? So you didn't know things then, correct?
Of all the people that need to know things at the time.
Right. So you admit that you didn't know things then, and you signed literally a spy warrant without knowing things. Right. But you said that you could verify it based on things that you knew. That you now say you didn't know. This is literally how I would be asking these questions if I were on that committee in office. This is why I cannot be in office. Because at some point when you insult the dignity of others by assuming that we're all morons, I'm going to insult yours. It's not the most graceful thing. I am a sinful human. I try, but on this, it requires an act of God to intervene, because I would be up there just like that. Woo! We got a lot more coming up, including, hey, Antifa, if you're trying to plan on looting and pillaging neighborhoods, maybe don't sit in a Starbucks and talk about it publicly, you blanking morons. Also, how many dead police officers are okay? And I'm being genuine. It sounds like a provocative question, but I'm asking it for real. Is taking or endangering other black lives the cost of what is happening here? Legitimate question that asks for intellectual discourse. Stick with us.
It's the Dana Show.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms, they invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
I've always believed and continue to believe that the National Guard is best suited for performing domestic support to civil authorities in these situations in support of local law enforcement. I say this not only as Secretary of Defense, but also as a former soldier and a former member of the National Guard. The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now. I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act.
Oh, boy. That is audio from Mark Esper. He is the Secretary of Defense talking about that Insurrection Act. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, DanaLash.com. My latest book, Grace Canceled, which everybody should be reading right now, quite frankly, is available there. Sign up for the newsletter, too. That is one of the things that the president has been mulling over. And that is, I know that as it relates to sending out guard and the guard and all of this other stuff, I know it's been done before, and I know that there have been other similar things that presidents have called up. But I also think that Trump is being baited. Let me give you my theory. So, and I, again, please understand that for me to even theorize on this is huge because I am such an anti-conspiracy theorist, but I'm also a massive anti-authoritarian to the point where basic instructions sometimes make me mad. I'm slightly joking. It's just, I don't know, it's in my American DNA. Don't blame me. But I like I said, I didn't believe in deep state a year ago, and I do now. But I think Trump's being baited. I think that people want him to send out the military. Now, last night, it seemed that it was a little bit more peaceful. And the night before that, it was a little bit more peaceful than the previous night. That's not to say that something can't inflame over the weekend. I think the first true test as to whether or not there's been any progress on quelling that particular aspect of it depends on how Friday night and Saturday night go. But I do think that the worst thing that he could do, now hear me out, worst thing he could do at this point is have that kind of military response. Which is, and I think he realizes this as well, which is why he's examining it, which isn't dumb to examine it, but he hasn't done it. I'll tell you this, for all the crap that this dude gets, he's always, and he does this Overton window approach, and he'll say, I may do this. He's always erred on the side of individual rights. So don't get distracted from that. You got to give credit where due. You can be a hater all you want to, but give credit where due. Otherwise, we don't believe you. This is a bait. And like I said, let me explain this. Look at going back to 2016. If you want to entertain the theory, and I do think that there's a deep state, that I do believe that what happened in trying to undermine the 2016 election was an attempted political coup. Now, you can have all different kinds of coups. I mean, it's a pretty standard word. It's a pretty standard, like, defined word. But you can have a political coup. You can have a coup without use of force. You can even have a cultural coup. This was a political coup, an attempted political coup. I mean, the fact that these hearings with Rosenstein are happening right now, and some of the stuff I've been hearing about it, are just, it's just amazing. He just rubber stamped something because he was told to. By whom? And right now, Rosenstein is trying to really save his butt. He threw the FBI under the bus earlier. I have all these little notes about what he testified to, and that's going to be have to be its own whole hour. And maybe in a retrospect, we'll do that. But that was the first try, the attempted political coup and undermining of a free and fair election. And then we had the pandemic, which apparently isn't even a problem now. Because people were threatened with arrest if they peeped their head out of their damn house. If you buy seeds, if you get on a motorboat out in the lake, if you want to reopen your business and practice social distancing, you could get fined. But if you want to burn businesses down, well, hell, you have police chiefs like the one in Raleigh, North Carolina, who was saying, yeah, well, we're not going to help you. And then now you have this with the rioting, the looting. And the left wants to make it to where people believe that they are defenseless from local police. They want to give the impression that you are being besieged by all sides. They want to give the impression that, because right now everyone knows Antifa is violent. Democrats, no Democrat has condemned them. And I want you to remember this. Joe Biden has never condemned Antifa violence. Not a single Democrat has condemned Antifa violence. They dance around it by saying, look, President Trump is, he's trying to infringe upon free speech. That's not free speech. Burning stuff down isn't free speech. Do you remember the video that I did wherein I played literal Antifa violence behind me and I condemned the violence and the left came at me so damn hard? CNN, MSNBC, Newsweek, New York Times, New York Daily News, you name an entity and they came at me. Hell, I think even Playboy did something. Deadline Hollywood. Saying that Dana Loesch is so violent. Because I showed Antifa violence and I condemned it. And I said, you fight it with truth. And they lost their minds. When you show them for who they are, they lose it. I meant every word I said and I still do. And so now they're doing this again. And the media's carrying their water. And so are Democrats. It shouldn't be any problem to say that you support peaceful protesting, but the violence, they try to conflate it. And they want you, as I said, to feel as though local police are besieged. You have some Democrat governors and Democrat mayors. Why are they sitting on their hands? Is it on purpose? Why do you have some of these Democrat cities that won't send anybody out or they'll tell police not to intervene? Is it because they want the destruction? Is it because they want people to think that the only way that this is going to get taken care of is if Trump sends out the military? They'll posture publicly that that would be so bad while setting up the conditions that demand he do it. And then say he does it. Then what? Antifa's desperately looking to unload their "we're the only violent ones" narrative. And that's how they do it. They would justify everything that they do with that optic. That's why Trump went so hard on governors. Everyone's like, gosh, he's so mean. Listen to him. No, it's just he knows what's going on. I've been in this game for too damn long. Please. I've seen things. I would not be surprised at all. Not at all. It is the fight that even transcends. And it is a fight that it has existed. It's a struggle that has always existed. And it will coalesce around certain tragic events. And it tries to co-opt those events to use them as a strategic advantage. I mean, I look at the balance, the scales of justice. Now you have the case of George Floyd. I know I have people sending me stuff that, look, TMZ reports that he had drugs in his system, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and I'm a very logical person. I'm a reasonable person. You show me evidence that completely, entirely supports your side and eliminates any doubts or arguments I have no problem in saying you're right. No problem. But don't insult both of us by thinking you can just claim something and not substantiate it, and I'm supposed to believe you because I owe you my belief for some reason. That's a status tenet. I don't owe anybody nothing. And neither do you. The George Floyd case, he was killed on camera. That is a dangerous thing, what that officer did. But we also have a number of other dead officers now, several of them black. Is that, and this is a legitimate question, how many dead police officers are okay? How many dead law enforcement lives are acceptable? And here's my other part of the question. And I'm being genuine with us. Is taking innocent black lives and destroying black businesses or endangering those lives and endangering those livelihoods, do these individuals out in the streets carrying on the mayhem with the destruction, do they believe that to be the cost of what they're doing, of what they view as their struggle? Is that the price to pay? Because they're in the red then on that. They're in the red on that. And I don't think that I have to bring this point to bear. And again, while never having been black in America, I definitely believe there are legitimate concerns that black Americans have. Absolutely. And there are overall legitimate concerns that black and white Americans have as it relates to law enforcement. And if you disagree with me, then I would like to turn your attention to what's been happening in the Senate today. Members of the Department of Justice and FBI, people who would falsify information about innocent people to obtain literally a spy warrant, all based on politics. So, again, I'll tell you that black and white Americans have a lot to be concerned about with the state of our criminal justice system and the state of law enforcement right now. We have a lot to touch on, yet. We're going to talk more on this. I also want to get into, we have some more stats on firearm purchases. I told you yesterday that the fight to end the Second Amendment is now dead for a generation. It's over for a generation. They're going to keep trying, though, and that's, they always will. They always have. But you've scored a big victory, and I have some more stats for you. Trump keeps getting rebuked by these church leaders because he went to that statue at Pope John Paul. We're going to have a conversation about this because I'm done. And I'm a Christian, but I have a huge problem with a lot of church authority. I really do. I have a huge problem. And there's a reason why there are massive threats in the New Testament on bad shepherds. Because God recognizes the significance of bad shepherding and what that can do spiritually. And I got a problem with a lot of these pastors from pretty much every denomination that's going off right now. We're going to have that conversation. Because some of the people who are speaking, they got their big old mega churches and they sell books, but how many souls can they say they've won? I told you I had a problem with authority. So, you know, we got a lot to get into still. And as we roll up on Friday, we're going to be opening up phone lines Friday. Katie, bar the door.
Patriot Mobile is introducing new pricing on all new lines for a limited time. $25, $35, $45, $55. That's right. Plan pricing is now only $25, $35, $45, $55. Let their U.S.-based team design a customized family plan for you. Patriot Mobile will never charge you hidden fees, and by switching, you'll finally stop supporting Planned Parenthood and gun-grabbing Democratic candidates. Patriot Mobile only supports the conservative values that you believe in. Did you know so far this year, AT&T and Verizon have given twice as much money to Democratic candidates as to Republicans? Who are you supporting with your cell phone? Join me in supporting Patriot Mobile this month, and you'll receive an autographed copy of my new book, Grace Canceled. Switching is easy and can all be done over the phone. You get new lower pricing, 25, 35, 45, 55, and support your values with every call. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Make the call today to 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana to waive all activation fees and receive a free gift.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Man, I don't even know what is going on. Is there like a moon phase that's all weird or something? Fox 11 Los Angeles, California man allegedly caught eating the body of a relative. Yeah. Police said that he had murdered a relative and was caught by authorities consuming her. It was in Richmond, California. They responded to a residence after a report of a disturbance, and they literally caught him in the act of doing it. They literally caught him in the act. He was arrested. Our minds cannot ever be sanitized enough after this story. Steve King defeated in a Republican primary last night. Randy Fenstra defeated soon to be former Congressman Steve King he was a projected winner. They actually were calling it relatively early last night. I thought about 10 a.m., but he was defeated. And looters pull up in a $350,000 Rolls Royce to ransack a store in New York City. What? We got a lot. Stick with us.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
I think, one, we need to be really careful with our language. Yes, it is disturbing to see property being destroyed. It is disturbing to see people taking property from stores. But these are things. And violence is when an agent of the state kneels on a man's neck until all of the life is leached out of his body. Destroying property which can be replaced is not violence.
Like hell it ain't. My Lord. Come again? That's Nicole Hannah-Jones. I don't know who she is. It's not violence. Yes, it's violence. Say I take a hammer and I smash in your windshield and try to get at you. Is that violence? Oh, no, it's not violence. This is what I cannot stand from far left. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter. The amazing redefinition, the appropriation and redefining of words. So if you say something that someone doesn't like, that's violence. But if you literally set fire to things and assault people, as long as it's supposedly in the name of protest, because there's peaceful protests and there's riots. And if I have to say that one more damn time, I'm going to require IQ tests of everyone who questions me. There's apparently rioting and looting and arson and assault. That's not violence, but disagreeing with a progressive is. I can't tell you how many times people have said, literally while I'm condemning violence, like Antifa violence, it's violent speech. Speech is not violence. That's a statist way to try to limit expression. Stop it. So it is. So here's the thing. So the protests are spreading. And so like there's like a protest around where I live that's going to be happening over the weekend. And here's what I find weird. Why do people who are organizing peaceful protests, which I have no problem with, I've organized many a protest in my day, and I don't disagree with the message of justice that peaceful protesters are projecting. But why is it that when you legitimately raise a concern about the violence that has followed nearly every one of these protests, with the exception of like maybe a few, why are you immediately attacked because you bring up legitimate questions? I'm going to tell you, in the county that I live in, you have a bunch of white virtue signaling progressives that love trying to live vicariously through their kids, which I cannot stand when adults do this crap. If you want to be an activist, then you be an activist. But don't be a pansy. Don't sit here and hide behind your kid because you want to be able to say things and do things, but not be accountable for things that you say and do. And the people who hide behind their kids in this fashion, that's what they're attempting. That's what they want to, avoid any and all accountability. And there have been a lot of business owners in my county that have raised concern because they've watched what's happened on television. Hell, we know what's been going on in Dallas just down the highway. We saw businesses get looted and things be set on fire. It's a legitimate concern. And I watched as all of these white progressives who are trying so hard to virtue signal, I watched as they have lashed out at these business owners, a lot of whom I would like to point out because of the greatness of America. These are minority business owners. A lot of them are legal immigrants who came in and started a business, female business owners. And they're being slammed for having the audacity to be concerned about their livelihood. I watched one conversation between this blonde entitled progressive whose closet probably entirely consists of yoga pants, argue with a minority female business owner. And the blonde progressive told the minority female business owner, and this was all going down on Facebook, you know, it's a new town talk. The blonde progressive was telling the minority female business owner, well, it's just possessions. It's just material items. You can replace them. And oh my gosh, that minority female business owner, if words could cut someone through the screen, little blondie would have been done for. Ooh. And she schooled this woman on how business works. She had said something to the effect of that while you attempt to speak for me and condescend to me, recognize that that's your quote unquote privilege. And she had added, hold this up. She had added, as you recognize that as you speak to me and as you lecture me and condescend to me, that you are exercising your quote unquote privilege. You have no idea what it takes to run a business. You have no idea what it takes to sacrifice to build a business. This is our livelihood. It is everyone's livelihood that runs a business. And your misunderstanding of that and attempt to threaten business owners with this as some sort of extortion is unacceptable. And then it was talking about how our community doesn't need this, all this stuff. I mean, it was an amazing, can you imagine? This is the thing that I don't get. This is going to lead me to my next topic. Because, and maybe your experience is different, I've only seen white progressives doing this. They are lecturing everyone. And if there is a minority that disagrees with them, they will lecture them too. Is that not compromising your whole like black box thing on Instagram? And isn't that the whole thing of that is exercising, as you would say, your privilege, is it not?
Pretty accurate.
I mean, I am shocked at the total irony of the situation. I'm shocked. And I've seen a lot of, by a grocery store that I go to, there were, and I'm not going to put the picture up because I don't know how old they are. They were younger adults, but I think it looks like they were in their 20s. I've never seen people that protested like so lazily. They were sitting sitting on a corner right by a grocery store that you go into, just like sitting there, and they had signs. And one of them said Black Lives Matter and the other one said F white privilege, but the F wasn't censored. They were both white.
Oh.
And you're in a county that is fairly, you know, I mean, it's middle class and it's a good county. People work hard. Most everyone here came from the same place, nothing. And they have become successful and they have built themselves up by the sweat of their own brow, by staying up late, by sacrificing time. And I'm just like, I'm literally witnessing the whole progressive construct of white privilege in action. Because I see white people who could not tell me about David Dorn's family. They probably couldn't tell me about Breonna Taylor also. And they are, what, you're virtue signaling. So can we talk for a moment about all of these insane statements? I see companies, I'm going to pull up my notes on this. I see all of these companies that are trying, they're releasing these statements where I get that what they're trying to do. I don't know if they're trying to do it because they want to look like they're being peaceful. Peloton, for crying out loud, sent out a thing. And I'm like, okay, we get it. You people ride bikes. Like, it's not a political conversation. Great. I love it. But do you have to send out like 1,000 word? It just, not because anybody disagrees with the idea of justice or treating people nicely, but so, it feels so disingenuous, right? Like, if I sign up for crying out loud, you know, to get, you know how you can sign up and you can get a card, and if you go to an ice cream shop, I swear to you, I'm being serious. So don't. And every time you go, I'm not going to name it, but every time you go and you get like a scoop of ice cream, which I haven't in forever because keto, I don't want to get an email from the damn ice cream shop telling me where you stand on stuff because you sell ice cream. I'm not even making this up. You sell ice cream. No one gives a damn about what Joe Schmo, you're, don't sit here and be like our CEO. You're not a franchise. You're a damn ice cream shop. Shut up. You send out an email. It feels like hostage statements. Right? That's what it feels like. I have a thing here of all of these different companies. I was going to read a lot of them, but I'm not. You think you kind of get my point. It feels that way. Have you seen some of these statements?
No, not all of them.
I think every company has like made a public thing, or they'll like take a picture of it and they put it on Twitter. Okay, fine. If that's what you want to do, what, you know, but they're sending out these statements like they're hostages or something. And then you have the Bush alums. So George W. Bush released a statement saying that the country needs to take a look at tragic failures, and he says it's a tragedy and a long series of similar tragedies. How do we end systemic racism in our society? And he did not mention Trump. And he says those who set out to silence those voices do not understand, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people are thinking that George Bush was slamming Trump. I don't know. Did you read his statement?
No, I didn't read all
that. I don't know if I necessarily think that, but I know some of the Bush alums have come out and they have actually, you know, come out in favor of Joe Biden already for the election. There are a lot of former Bush administration alums. They formed a pro-Biden super PAC. In fact,
establishment's gonna establishment.
Yeah, Karen Kirksey, former Treasury Department official from Bush administration, is the treasurer, and there are a number of former Bushies that have done this because they're country club Republicans. These are the people who literally help set the stage. If you want to talk about the divide, do you think that you bear no culpability for this? You're talking about a Republican Party that treated grassroots conservatives like myself and others like garbage. And you acted like we were the great unwashed masses when we were pointing out to you the cultural ramifications of ignoring this politically. And then you have the audacity to try to do the whole hindsight is, you know, 2020 kind of stuff. Shut up. You have zero credibility here. Get out of our lane. It's the country club Republican mindset. These people who look down upon anyone. I wrote about this in my book, Grace Canceled. It's like in one of my first chapters. That is one of the reasons that they didn't like the current president. It's for the same reason that they didn't like Tea Partiers. I am still hated by these Republicans. They didn't like individual conservatives. Oh my gosh, I went to war with some of them. They didn't like the idea of this grassroots accountability that was these individuals being a check on the Republican Party. And that's how I always describe the Tea Party stuff. And they're doing the same thing now. They think that just by saying, well, look, we're just going to go out here, we're going to say this is bad, and we'll kind of condemn Trump because we don't want to make all the Republicans mad, and then all this will go away. You are so out of touch with stuff. That's why you're not in office anymore. None of you. You're so out of touch with us. All of the people, by the way, who were resisting and really pushing back against any kind of Republican that was done with all of that, done with the country club Republican type of stuff, they're the ones that are still in the office. Those are the ones who've been the biggest critics of the administration. Yet this administration has done more for life than you know, forgive me, I'm going to be honest. I'm sure he seems like a pleasant fellow, but he's done more for pro-life than George W. Bush. He cut taxes more than George W. Bush. He cut regulations more than George W. Bush. He hasn't gotten us involved in every single, he hasn't answered the call to every invitation for war. Unlike, I mean, I could sit here and go on and talk about how this administration in action has been more conservative than the previous two Republican administrations. But see, that doesn't matter to them because it's about optics. But we have receipts. We know what you did, and we know what this administration's done. And the fact that you would, or that anyone of that ilk would actually try to undermine the people to which they claim fellowship by political designation through forming this PAC or deciding to intimate that you're supporting the VP. You know, with Republicans like you, who needs Democrats? We have a lot more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up. Woo woo. Don't want to miss it.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, that was a tough one. I was waiting for, wait, did he play the surprise animal?
Yeah, it sounded like a bull.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we already had a cow in there in the original one. Like, there was already a cow mooing. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that's a bull. Is that a bull, Steve?
It's not, yeah, it sounds like one. All right, there we go. There it is. Look at that. I liked the dolphin yesterday, too. All right, so Florida man. A Florida man was sentenced for falsely claiming to represent the village people to an Oregon casino. It's at justice.gov and KDRV. This Florida man was charged because he was lying to authorities. He wouldn't. It was the Mill Casino in North Bend. He said that he was representing the village people. According to documents, 67-year-old Howard Harlib gave a flyer to the casino and was advertising an opportunity for them to book the village people. And then he sent them a brochure with information about his supposed company. It sounds like he was trying to scam them, which he was. Frauds, swindles, apparently it went back all the way to the early 90s. And so he's been convicted multiple times of all kinds of grand theft. So they busted him on this too. So that's good. And a Florida woman found two alligators fighting outside her home.
Oh.
Stay with us.
Gator battle. No, that's not the end.
We're in. What was he playing? He was playing music. I was like, my clock is wrong.
He's playing the village people.
You scare the hell out of me.
He's got 30 seconds.
He does that. And I think, oh my gosh, my clock is wrong. We are not on air anymore.
We'll
okay,
play the village people on this show.
You guys have heard of Landshark. Well, this is scary. Just because you hear pounding on your door, don't open it immediately. Because Florida woman Susan Gashel, she heard pounding on her door. And she was like, she was jolted awake. Two alligators were fighting right on her porch, right by her door. See, yeah, it was a gator battle. All right, now this time, literally, we're going. But stay with us.
Like me, you need a haircut desperately. A couple more weeks of this, and we may be back in a place where we're able to do that safely. It's still going to require strict protocols. It's still going to require every one of us keeping our guard up and doing the right thing. But we may be taking that step, and I'd like to do it before Independence Day weekend. But we got to follow the data. And so if you're one of those people that's going to Ohio, I hope, I pray that you are doing your part not to bring COVID-19 home. And that if you haven't been you haven't resorted to that, Google how to do a haircut or throw your hair in a ponytail or curl it and get through the next couple of weeks and we can resume.
This is the Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who is doing everything she can to not talk about George Floyd and everything else that's happening. So she's doing this. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Find me on Facebook, YouTube, all 3 hours simulcast, channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. Okay, so if you can go out and riot, pretty sure you can go get a haircut. And she, everyone's going to have horrible hair in Michigan. I'm so sorry, you guys. There's going to be a lot of mows. A lot of mows. A lot of people are going to attempt to cut bangs. Don't. Just Google how to do a haircut. Just Google it. Oh my gosh. Really? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. These are still the people who are like threatening fines and, you know, all kinds of stuff just to business owners. And if they reopen or if they do anything, you can get your hair cut. Gosh, this is so, can we stop pretending right now that you guys are concerned about this spreading? You got thousands of people out in the street every damn day. We're going to find out in like a few days whether or not this is BS or not. Stop it. Jiminy Christmas. Which apparently I'm told by my husband every time I say that, that's not actually a saying. That it's Jiminy Cricket, and it was literally the name of a cricket in Disney.
That's true.
And I'm like, I just like saying it anyway and messing it up.
I've said Jiminy Christmas before, though.
Okay. Well, we have this big conversation every time I say it.
That's interesting.
He's like, no, that's not how. Or sometimes I'll go, oh, Christmas. And he's like, what? That's, you can't say that. And I'm like, why? And he goes, because people don't say it. And I'm like,
that's okay.
I'm sorry if I talk like an old-timey person, but I'm going to say this. There you go. All right. So... some news here, too, also from Minnesota. I cannot say that any other way. Minnesota. Oh, hi. Yeah. The attorney general, whose son is Antifa, is increasing charges against Derek Chauvin to that's the cop that was on video killing George Floyd, to second degree murder. And also charging the three other officers. I don't know anything about the charges for the other three, but that's the latest. Okay, and I actually was kind of expecting maybe that to happen. And in fact, I was sort of wondering, because I was looking at originally the charges that they were pursuing, and I thought, you really, honestly, you have a, you know, and I don't think I was the only one that was wondering this. And then there were other lawyers that were saying, actually, yes, you are correct. You know, you could get this charge, you could get this charge, you know, it depends on how. One of my friends who is actually a criminal attorney, criminal justice attorney, told me that their thought as to why they weren't going for like the strongest charges that they could actually go for is because they don't want Chauvin to walk.
Right.
And you obviously, you know, if you're going for stronger charges, you have a higher bar to meet. And they want to make sure that it sticks, which is why. Because I thought, it really seems like there could be more for a serious. And so that explanation makes sense. I get that. That makes sense. So I see, folks, I only pretend to be a lawyer on the radio. Mm-hmm. All right. We got to have a conversation about some of the video that's been going around where they're, pull this up. This is so weird. People are so weird. Did you see the whole thing where it was a bunch of white people who were in like the, they were in, I accidentally closed this, so give me 1 minute. They were in a square and they were, it's a video. And they were, I think, chanting or apologizing for white privilege. Is that, do you have that? I think I sent that last night. I don't why? What are they doing? What are they doing? There was a comedian on Instagram who said it is corny as all get out, which I kind of think that there's something to that. You know, it does seem a little, but they were all sitting in, someone retweeted it. A friend of mine retweeted it and said, this seems like a cult. And there was another video that came out where people were kneeling in front of some of the protest organizers and they were apologizing for stuff. And I'm like, are you guys, if you're a racist and you're a hateful person, then by all means apologize. But I I don't know. Are you going to apologize, Kane?
No. Honestly, I don't have anything to be guilty about.
I don't feel guilty.
I don't have white guilt, and I see people that display it, and I certainly don't have privilege.
I'm not guilty, which is why I don't feel guilty.
I don't understand what the privilege thing is either. I would assume that it's, I guess I don't get harassed as much. Is my privilege?
I never realized that growing up poor with a single mother who is a survivor was a privilege.
Right.
I guess I didn't realize that growing up in a small town with a limited number of avenues and having to do everything I could to try to get like awards and scholarships so that I could go to college. Otherwise I had no chance. Right. I didn't realize that was my privilege.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, you know, not having a parent around was a privilege.
I think it's a generalized word now. I think it just has been so abused and used that that word is so worn thin, it no longer really carries.
I also think it's bigoted.
Definition.
It is super.
It is.
Hellaciously bigoted.
No doubt.
You're assuming stuff about people. You're literally making assumptions based on stereotypes about people.
Yeah.
Is that not?
That's the definition.
Yeah. Because I'm not guilty. I've not done anything. I mean, if I totally am mean to somebody and they deserve the apology because it was not in self-defense or something like that,
right.
I've been mean to people. You know, I've been. Actually, not really. No, but I mean, all kidding aside, if I mess up, I own it. There's nothing wrong with apologies. But I didn't do any of this.
And do we live in a society today, you think, that's accepting of people's apologies? Because I know that...
I wrote a whole book on how they're not.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I know you have a book out there that talks about this, but let's be real. Nobody
wants apologies.
Yeah, we used to be a redemption-style
apologies
society.
Are viewed now as surrender. Apologies are viewed as nothing more than a victory in a debate.
Yep.
It's apologies. I mean, if our society was actually accepting of apologies, then it would lead to redemption.
Yep.
It would lead to forgiveness, and it doesn't, which is why nobody wants to apologize, because they're like, what is the point of me apologizing if I'm never going to be forgiven, or if there's no redemption, and because society denies that, you just further polarize everything. So, I mean, I just think it's weird, and the whole bending the knee thing. I only bend a knee in prayer. I don't bend a knee to nothing but prayer. That's it. It just is. It to me, I'm like. There's so much virtue signaling out there. What is it? I was reading this. It was actually trending. So all of the people who posted the black boxes on Instagram yesterday are getting totally ridiculed today for doing it. And yeah, they're getting made fun of for it because what they were doing was. It was virtue signaling, and then it ended up drowning out like actual protester voices or something. And so by the way, now that we're having this whole discussion, can I just direct your attention relatively quickly here to Chris Murphy. Let me pull his tweet up. I caught this last night. He had actually tweeted 16 hours ago. It's time for Connecticut to desegregate our schools. And I thought, what? It's 2020. This isn't done? Like, you Democrats up there are still doing this?
Apparently.
Does he mean, like, integrate? Or what does he mean by this? So I started looking into it and to talk about it, you know, later this week. And he's only just now, if it hasn't been done,
yep.
And he would only be just now tweeting about this, what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm made of questions right now. He won't clarify it either. I think he's doubling down by not deleting it, but he's not talking to anybody about it either. Oh my gosh. I don't know. But why is that not actually more of a topic of discussion? If you want to have that discussion, just, you know. One of the other things to note on, too, in some of the Antifa stuff, because they're talking about going to certain neighborhoods and all this, and I saw some discussion from the left, in saying that, because they're talking about what neighborhoods they want to go to, and they said that the moms are getting all upset and getting, you know, upset about protests. Actually, it's not. I don't think it's. I haven't seen anything where it's just moms getting upset. I think business owners and that are wondering what is to follow with these protests that are happening like this week or later this weekend. But can we just for a moment, can we address how unbelievably sexist that is? And how you're woman shaming? If you're making fun of mothers for worrying about potential violence that has followed most of these protests around the country, and you're shaming mothers for being concerned about it, you're a sexist pig. And you need to sit the hell down with your privilege. That's sexist. And you're shaming women. What happened to believe all women? Oh, wait, no, that doesn't apply in this case, because that position, like all the others, is completely situational. Sexist garbage. All right, we have more to come. I'm going to try not to like totally go over so we can get some good headlines in. Some of the things that I have for you coming up still too is all the I'm too scared to vote in person people that are out writing. So are we done with that issue, by the way? The whole like let's like vote remotely somehow. We're going to discuss that. What a new study is saying couples should do as it relates to face masks. Yes, we'll discuss that. We're also going to get into what deregulation, some of the moves Congress is making, the latest with Rosenstein, so much more. And I also the BET's Robert Johnson, he asked for $14 trillion in reparations. We're going to discuss that as well. So you don't want to miss a single bit of it. We still have a lot of show to come out with.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is a crazy story. It was the Wall Street Journal. The last person to receive a Civil War era pension has passed away. Irene Triplett collected $73.13 from the Department of Veterans Affairs. It's a benefit for her father's military service in the Civil War. Her father, Moose Triplett, started fighting for the Confederacy but defected to the North in 1863. And that decision got his daughter, the product of a later in life marriage to a woman 50 years his junior, a pension of $73.13 a month from the VA. That is crazy. I mean, oh man, that's crazy. Teen Vogue is trying to be all like pro-Antifa. Teen Vogue, can you just write about lip gloss? They tweeted, they have a piece.
Antifa grows out of a larger revolutionary politics that aspires towards creating a better world. But the primary motivation is to stop racists from organizing.
Well, I think they are the racists because they're burning black-owned businesses. And you don't create a better world by burning it down and beating people in the street. So, sorry. Tropical storm Cristobal could approach the U.S. Gulf Coast as a hurricane. How are we naming these hurricanes? And when are we going to have, like, the Madison hurricane, right? Madison or something like, you know, Skylar or Kelly with an I. I mean, just... When are we going to have those? I just don't know how they name them. They get very flourishy. I'm not saying I dislike the name. I'm just like, you went from Bertha to Crucible. I mean, like what? Bertha to this? I'm just saying, it's just a little, how did they do this? Also, firearm retailers have noted 40%, get this, 40%. Of 2020 gun buyers. So people purchasing firearms for the first time this year, 40% of them are first time firearm owners. 40% of them are women. Woo! Yeah, moms demand more guns. That's what that is. 40% 2020 gun buyers are first timers and 40% are female of that. Wow, that is, whew, that's some mama bear stuff, let me tell you. Also, I got a couple of other things here to bring this up. Give me just one moment because I'm pulling all this stuff up. I'm in the wrong thing. That's why I was like, where did my notes go? Because I just accidentally got excited and I closed this. Hong Kong special status, their visa status, could actually this is something that could actually be affected. We've been talking about China trying to enact control over Hong Kong and thus endangering some of the protections that Hong Kong has with other countries, including visa considerations as it relates to the United States. Things are going to change for U.S. travelers, the State Department. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Now, too many see the protests as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice. And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
The part of the First Amendment where he says peaceably assemble. Here, let me. I posted this on Twitter, by the way, at D Lash on Twitter. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. I posted it on Twitter. I took a screenshot of said text. So let me read. I'll read it for you. Quote, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So just again, peaceably to assemble and to petition the government.
Peaceably to assemble. Peaceably.
Does that make sense? I mean, I can read it in an Elmo voice if that would make it stick more. You know? Peaceably to assemble. So wait, are you, is he like actually advocating for violent protests now? Because that would kind of negate the protest aspect of it. I'm just saying.
And remember the gun owners that were peacefully protesting and how CNN treated those? By the way, not a single piece of property was destroyed. Nobody was assaulted. Nobody was hurt. They had their gun rights were under attack in their mind. And they went and visited the Capitol with their firearms. Nothing ever happened. Cuomo, Lemon, all the rest of them on CNN were talking about how this was inciting violence and how this was just, you know, it's just gun rights. People are just trying to shove this in our face. And it's crazy how different their tone is with this.
Can I just like sidebar real quick, since we're talking about privilege?
Yeah.
I know, because I have different things on different monitors here. And Fox is showing someone with like a $400 plus backpack on talking about inequality. Yeah. Okay, I'm just, just wanted to point that out. I don't have a $400 backpack.
No, me neither.
Okay. Now that, well, I just, you know, I'm bringing this up because, you know, we're talking about Antifa going and busting stuff and burning it, you know, and, you know, Eat the Rich and Beverly Hills and everything. So back to your point. That is a great point, Kane. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with the class.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like he's calling for, that doesn't, I mean, it says it literally in the First Amendment, peaceably to assemble. Really clear. Very clear. It's not, it's hard to understand. It's not hard to read. Okay, so I've got to share this story with you, guys. It's from the Daily Wire. Are you ready for this? This is a lot of dumb. Brace yourself on something. I'm going to wait. Swallow that drink. I know you just took a sip of your Mountain Dew. You good? Okay. Here's the headline. Lego requests affiliates pull marketing for police fireplace sets following George Floyd's death, says report.
Oh, my God.
What? So here is Toy Book. Oh, man, this is a real thing. So here's Toy Book. I'm just going to read this to you. You ready? Okay.
The Toy Book has received a copy of an email sent to affiliate marketers by Ratukin Linkshare on behalf of the Lego Group. The email requests removal of product listings and features for more than 30 Lego building sets, minifigures, and accessories that include representation of police officers, firefighters, criminals, emergency vehicles, and buildings. I didn't know, sidebar, is there like what, like a Batman kind of store? Okay. Sets include the Lego City Police Station, Fire Station, Police Dog Unit, Patrol Car, Fire Plane, Mobile Command Center, Police Highway Arrest, sidebar, buy all of these now, and many more. Even the Lego City Donut Shop opening set, which includes police officer Duke Detain and Crook minifigures role play. display items, including a police handcuffs and badge set. An adult builder Lego creator version of the White House made the removal list. At press time, these sets are still showing up on the Lego website, and many are still in stock and for sale. We've reached out to the Lego group for comment, and we'll update this story accordingly. And here is the actual PDF of the list. And then Brickloft at brickloft.org on Twitter said, "Hey, Lego group, can you elaborate? Is it Blackout Tuesday? What kind of message are you making here?" And then Matt's Brick Gallery, "Lego's the ideal world. The world will be crushed once a kid uses the minifigures and reacts for what they're seeing on TV." Then, okay, whose parents are letting them, small children who are small enough to do that, watch this? So that's, man, and yeah, they did. So all of these people. So no more police sets. 30, over 30 play sets. Over 30 play sets. And then all Lego, apparently Lego fan sites also received that letter too. So that's why they were all, that's why you have all of these fan site accounts on Twitter asking. So Lego wouldn't respond. They did put up the black square thing on Twitter, which everybody's getting made fun of for today, because it like completely just like drowned out, I guess, all the, it had the opposite intended effect. It does sound like a Stefan list from SNL, or Stefan, you remember? Right. Stefan with the, it's DJ Baby Bok Choy, and he's got biscuits for knees. It's what it sounds like. It's the latest in banning things. Yeah, so they're, this is a thing. They're banning Lego sets, and I am made of thoughts. Hey, when are we going to get the Antifa toy set? Right. The Antifa Lego play set. Flammable accessories not included. I love it. It's the Antifa Lego building set from your friends at Lego. And you have minifigures that come with it. Your minifigures can build a successful business out of nothing. And that's when you introduce your Antifa minifigures to come in and totally destroy your entire playset. Set the Lego bricks on fire with this lighter included. Watch them melt. And then you can snap on the crying faces of your Lego minifigures. Yay! You stopped the injustice. New from Lego. Oh, man. I mean, what, or you know what? They could do like a riot playset. And one of the minifigures could be like beaten on their Lego street, right? Because the Antifa minifigure beat the business owner minifigure, right? They could do that. I mean, look, I'm just looking, if they're trying to look for the new quote unquote politically correct ways to make money. It's the new Lego Riot playset. Smoke canisters not included.
I'm just curious what in the boardroom, whenever they decided that this is what they were going to do.
Can you imagine what that conversation was like?
How did that even come up? Like, literally, they think Lego playsets are contributing in some way negatively to society when this is going on?
Yeah. I can't, you know, because I can't wait to hear what that was like. Here's Bob and Jim, the CEO and CFO of Lego. "Well, Jim, I don't know what we're going to do. We've got police play sets, and I'm just, you know, as a white cis male, I'm very uncomfortable with that." "Well, Bob, I'm going to figure out, or I'm going to figure out how we can best respond to this. Let's just pull all the firefighter sets and the police play sets." "Well, Jim, that's a great idea. And I really appreciate you taking ownership of your white cis privilege by acknowledging that our Lego plastic figures, I mean, they're literally just dumbass plastic blocks that we charge parents like $50 for. I appreciate you acknowledging that these are contributing to inequality in our world. Thank heavens for you, Jim, the big white savior." "Well, Bob, I couldn't do it without you, my co-big white savior. High five."
It was like I was in the meeting myself.
It was like you were transported right there. Right, we just, there. You know, we strive for a level of realism here on The Dana Show. We really do. So,
and wouldn't it take many efforts to build the actual police station and build the actual fire station? Like, if you're getting just a bunch of Legos with directions, are you still virtue signaling at that point? I don't I think you can build whatever you want with
it. You can ask those great questions. I'm too busy wondering how to package the Molotov cocktail Lego set. Right? Because minifigures are quite wee. And I'm just wondering, how can you make a Molotov cocktail Lego style? You know? Man. I mean, let's go to the back to the boardroom again with Bob and Jim, the CEO and CFO of Lego. Ideas. Right? Well, hey, Jim, I was wondering what we could do to replace the police and firefighter sets. How is that going to work? Well, yes, Bob, I was thinking about that as well. We need to figure out a way to make Lego Molotov cocktails. That's a great idea, Jim. You and your white cis privilege. White cis to you too, white savior homeboy. Well, let's figure out, how are we going to do this, and what else can we take out? Well, we're going to need to take out the White House, because that is just clearly a plastic piece-by-piece symbol of oppression. Yes, Jim, I completely agree with you. Hey, Bob, isn't it amazing how both of us progressive white cis males sound exactly the same? Yes, and it's almost like a woman's doing our voice. High five.
Again, so real, like I was there.
Adults suck. You suck. You're doing this to toys. They're literally plastic bricks. I mean, they're plastic bricks. I can't make fun of this enough. I really can't. Don't even call them Legos anymore. It's just Carinos.
Could be the Legos new, the new Lego product, palette of Legos.
Oh!
And you just leave them at underpasses.
You leave them on different parts of your riot playset.
That's a fantastic idea.
This is, you know what? I totally 1,000% agree with you. And I think that this needs to be tweeted, which I'm going to do here right now, because it's just, it's amazing.
Palette of Legos.
All right. So let's go once more time back to the boardroom with Bob and Jim, the CEO and CFO of Lego. It's just a dramatization. Well, Jim, we need to really make this accurate for kids so they can, you know, play out their hatred of the man. I totally agree with you, Bob. Here's an idea. In addition to now using some of the red glowy parts that we've previously used for our police helicopters, we can have that represent the new Molotov cocktails for our Antifa minifigures. Now let's also include a palette of Lego bricks just by themselves that children can randomly leave at various places on the Lego Riot Antifa playset. Bob, this is why you're CFO. Yes, Jim, and this is why you're CEO. Progressive white cis male privilege. High five!
Man, again, it was just like I was there. It's like I was right in the room.
Right?
What's going on?
It's amazing. I have figured out what I'm going to be for Halloween.
A pallet of bricks.
I thought I could go as the progressive white savior. It's totally what I'm going to be for Halloween. It'll be like Wile E. Coyote style, because that's how I envision it in my head. But it'll be the progressive white savior. PWS. And then you can have your Acme cape. Yes. And you could just wear your morph suit. You know how Wile E. Coyote does his wings? Oh, yeah. Like, floop, floop, floop. It's the progressive white savior. Goodness, no one else has a voice. Thank you, progressive white savior. We're so happy that you're here. I just solved racism by putting black squares all over my Instagram.
Oh, man.
This is where we are now. This is our world. All right. We got to get going. We know that I'm never going to let this go, number one. And I'm totally going to make fun of this the rest of the week and probably later on DanaLash.com. So I'm just saying. All right. We got more. We have Today in Stupidity coming.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
This song by L7, The Masses Are Asses, is
accurate
and apropos right now after that Lego story.
Oh, man.
Whew. We'll put that up for you at DanaLash.com and over on YouTube. The Attorney General of Missouri says that St. Louis prosecutor Kim Gardner released every single rioter and looter. Every single one. Every single one. So does that include the ones that shot the cops and, well, I know they couldn't find the one who killed David Dorn, retired captain. Unbelievable. Kim Gardner.
Remember the Occupy stuff in St. Louis?
Oh, yeah. Well, Gardner went in office then,
no,
but
not
yeah.
Then, but I'm just talking about St. Louis in general.
My favorite Occupy story about that, when they went and squatted in Keener Plaza,
right,
was the guy who drove around Keener Plaza and yelled, "Occupy D's nuts."
Right.
Not all heroes wear capes, everybody.
D-E-E-Z.
That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. No, people are like, are you serious with the Lego story? Yes. I tweeted about it. I'll put it up on Facebook here in a little bit, too. That's a real thing. I can't, as funny as I like to think I am, I can't write something that gold. So, you know, that's just, and we actually just saw that. Otherwise, maybe we would have had some boardroom background white noise. I don't know. White noise. What?
White noise.
Triggered. Antifa, racist. I'm going to riot. I'm going to bust up some businesses racist. In the name of justice and set fire to black businesses in the name of justice. I mean, that's really the thinking.
How dare you?
Kim Gardner. Oh, gosh, that one. Released every single rioter and looter. Unbelievable. There's no words for this. I hope, honestly, you know, I hope that things chill. But I mean, it is amazing some of the stuff that people in elected office that are assisting this. I mean, it's just no words. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. It was Chris Cuomo. All that, what you just said, all that stuff there, stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cuomo, though, is talking about how protests, who says they're supposed to be all gentle and peaceful and all that?
Now, too many see the protest as the problem. No, the problem is what forced your fellow citizens to take to the streets. Persistent and poisonous inequities and injustice.
But peaceful.
And please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Peaceably protest in the First Amendment.
In the Constitution, actually, just to answer your question, stupid Cuomo.
Mm.
So there it is. Today in stupidity.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, folks. That does it for us today. DanaLash.com. I got new content going up there for you later on today. Make sure you go and check it out. And of course, Facebook, YouTube, all of our segments up there as well. Have a great night. Be kind. Rewind. I'll be back with you tomorrow.